My lesson tonight, or whatever Bible study, I was integrating some measuring tools with it, tape measure. And then I got an email or a phone call from the company that's doing our repair out there. They'll be starting on it next week, next Tuesday. And the lady said, I need you to help me out with your church layout, if you could just sketch it for me. And I already had all that stuff. I mean, I'd already taken it out of the garage and knew where it was at. And I thought, this is great. I'm going to teach on measuring tapes. And I'm going to go up and use the measuring tapes. And it's amazing how dirty you can get by stretching one of these on the ground and then reeling it in. It really is. That's not my favorite one. This is my favorite one because it's telescopic. And I've had it for years. And it's not as accurate as this one because you roll it on the ground. And if the ground's bumpy, it measures too long. But for inside the house, it'll do pretty good, or inside a building. Now, the accurate ones have a bigger wheel, just to let you know. If you're wanting to go get one, they cost more, but they have a bigger wheel there, you know. And so when you roll this on the ground, this may be as far as we get, because this is just, it's too cool to not talk about it. But as you roll it on the ground, as it rolls, it adds up right here. And if you want to reset it, you just do that. Here's something else that's neat about it while supplies last. You go forward, and then you want to back up, and it subtracts. So it adds and it subtracts. I'm thinking, what will they think of next? It really is. I really do like this. I lose it all the time. I'm serious. It's disappeared for months. And then it'll be wherever, and I'll just, oh, there it is. I misplace it, and it was in the trunk of a car one time. It was under the bed maybe one time. I don't know. I think I'm putting it where I'm going to know it next time, and then I go to sleep and wake up, and it's not there. So anyway, I have it right now. We know where all these are right now. I need to go to a scripture so you can believe that there's something here. Proverbs 11:1, and there's about three or four times in Proverbs that this is dealt with, but Proverbs says, dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Now, you can say a just weight is his delight, also a just measurement in that regard. We understand why weights in commerce, in business, weights had to be exactly correct. Because someone wanted a pound of coffee or grain or something, and that 1 pound weight on this side, and then they put the product on the other side, it had to be exactly right. So you realize how they could take the weights, and I know that's been a scam for years, as the seller would adjust the weights to their advantage. And the Bible is saying, you know, dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord. But we understand he's not talking about business and commerce. He's talking about whenever we judge things and how we live our life, we must do so in an honest manner, adjust scales. There is a situation that Paul dealt with, and I don't want to read this whole 10th chapter in 1st or 2nd Corinthians chapter 10, but I just wanted to kind of give an idea of what he was dealing with. He was coming to talk to them and dealing with some situations, and he was trying to defend his ministry, trying to say, look, I realize you may not always accept what I say, and some people have tried to undermine what we've been doing, but I want you to know that when I'm with you, the boldness that I have, I don't want it to put you off, but, you know, he was just kind of going, letting them know. In verse 3, though we walk in the flesh, we're not waging war against the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Verse 4, we know about that. We've heard those scriptures. But when he goes on down, in verse 8, he says, for even if I boast a little too much of our authority, which the Lord gave for building you up and not for destroying you, I will not be ashamed. So I don't want to appear to be frightening you with my letters, which we have one we're reading from today. For they say, Paul talking about those against him. His letters are weighty and strong, but his bodily presence is weak, and his speech is of no account. Now, I'm reading to you here from New King James, I think. Now I realize I don't have that on here, what it is. But he says he's of no account. But the King James Version says his speech is contemptible. That's a mean thing to say about a person's speech. We don't like to hear the man speak. His letters are okay, but when he talks, that's not something we really like, frightening with his letters. He said, let such a person understand that what we say by letter when absent, we do that when we're present. In other words, we mean what we say. We're not going to write one thing and hide behind a letter. We're going to be the same in person as we are in the letter, because we want to deal with even balances here. We're not going to be something that we're not. Verse 12, not that we dare to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who are commending themselves. In other words, we're not going to compare ourselves among ourselves. But when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding. In other words, people get together and they say, well, we can't measure up to what Paul's saying, but let's measure up to what we think is right. So you use one measurement, and it's going to be in inches, but I'm going to use a metric tape, and that way I get more numbers, and we'll come up with something a little easier to get by with. And you know, I've worked with guys in construction. We've worked together, and one of the things that we, if we remember, what we try to do is say, let's take the tapes and be sure that everybody's tape reads the same thing. Why is that? Because sometimes I've been on jobs where a 16th or an 1/8 of an inch was not tolerable. You had to get it exact. And so we would stretch these things out, and we would start looking at, make sure all the marks lined up, and if they lined up, good. But more times than not, somebody would have a dent right here on this little foot that gets a hold of things, and they'd be off just a little bit. And the reason we did that is because we didn't want engineers to come by behind us and check our work and say, this is off. It's not off much, but it's off. And we know we checked it twice. We know we measured it, but we find somebody has got a faulty piece of equipment and it's not going to work. So everybody has to be using the same standard to go by. Now, I know that's very simple. But what Paul is saying is, you know, but we will not boast beyond limits, but we will boast only with regard to the area of influence God assigned to us to reach even to you. In other words, we're not trying to lift ourselves up. We want to be right with what we say. When God gives us a word, we want to tell you what God told us to say. We want to influence you the right amount. We don't want to come on too strong. You know, as a pastor, there's times I'll get through on Sunday and I'll go home and I'll think, I was just a little too strong. I was a little too harsh. And I'll tell my wife, did that seem a little harsh? And of course, she'll say something really kind, like, it wasn't harsh enough. I'll say, good, I'm going to really go at him next time. No, there's times that I second guess it, because that's the human factor. But see, the human factor is I'm trying to interpret what I feel on my heart to say, but I'm interpreting it to those who need to hear it, but they need to hear it in a way that's effective, not just blow it out there and through anger. And you know, have you ever heard a pastor, teacher preach, and you know there's an agenda, there's somebody that got on his nerves, and it was me maybe, you know? It happens. We won't boast beyond limits, but only in regard to the area of influence. He said, for we're not overextending ourselves as though we did not reach you, for we were the first to come all the way with you, all the way to you with the gospel of Christ. We don't boast beyond a limit of the labors of others. So anyway, all this is what he's saying is, we want to let you understand that we're trying to abide by a standard as we come to you, and we're not just making this stuff up with this one and being easier to this people over here, but we're the same everywhere. They're passing my letters around, and each church is getting the same letter, and they're reading the same letter. That way, everyone has the same message. And that's really important for us all to believe and hear the same message. Amen? Otherwise, now, here's what really kind of got me onto this, as I was thinking this week. When I got into the church, well, I was raised in the church, so there. I received the Holy Ghost. Okay, you're going to have to hold this. Let's just say I've got that hook to Jesus Christ. She gets to play the Lord in this. Now, as a child, I knew I had the real thing. You could not have convinced me that was just emotion when I got the Holy Ghost. That was God. But over time, just the nature of just being human and the nature of needing teachers. And so I knew it was a God thing. And so after a while, instead of this being connected to God, I began, and rightly so, brother, I need you. You've got even a bigger role. You can just stand right here. My pastor started preaching to me. Now, the Lord filled me, but my pastor would preach to me. I didn't understand all of it, and I went through years of growing up where I needed to hear more. But as I began to hear the Word of God, I realized that the Lord and my pastor were giving me the same things because he got what he was giving me from God. So I got the Holy Ghost from the Lord, but also the pastor, through the anointing of the Holy Ghost, was preaching to me and trying to keep me in the church. All right. And so I stayed connected to what was necessary. We've got to stay connected to what we were affected by in the beginning. All right. Now, we got one more helper here and I'll be done. But here's what happens, and I'm sorry, your role is not going to be quite as glorious. You're going to come up on the platform and stand right here, and I'll give him the end of that tape. So many times we do this. I don't know. You know I got the Holy Ghost. Let's see, what year was it? And we go back to that time and to that year, and maybe we go even back to some camps and youth conventions and whatever, and we got a refilling. But there comes a time when, well, are we going to try to keep up with the pastor? Are we going to meet him here in the mornings at prayer? And can't? Oh, we've got jobs, we've got school, we've got to grow. You know, I've got overtime, I've got a family to support. And so there is a point in time when we begin to compare ourselves to someone that's a little closer. It might be a spouse, it might be a brother in the church, it could be a friend. But we begin to say, well, I do good, and compared to him, I'm doing real well. But the problem with comparing ourselves among ourselves is, among ourselves, the standard is movable. Follow me. You see what I'm saying? And we can be close to them, and we're still like, well, you know, look, I still measure because, I mean, he stumbled, but I'm not as bad as he is. And so as long as I look, I'm still better off. I'm still better off than Latchy, and so I'm all right. You know, this is just an illustration, and God's going to give you credit for this. Don't anybody go home and wonder, what was he picking on that family for? Because they sit near the front. That's right. Pick on the one that sat near the front. And so, but you realize that after a while, we're not going back to the source. We're going back to the comfort zone and saying, what would you do in a situation? You know, I've gone through a battle recently, and how would you handle it? And we'll take a person's advice. Even that person will say, you need to talk to pastor about that. I think I'm going to go to somebody else besides the pastor, maybe. I think, go back there and hand this to Brother David Gomes. See, you walk in late. Brother David, all I'm asking you to do is hold it. That's all you got to do. Now, back out the door a little bit. Dean, help him open the door. Now look, now I've got a new friend and I got an example. He's not even in the church. Well, he was. He was here Sunday. He was shouting and all that Sunday, but today he's not even in the church, and I'm dependent on him, and I'm saying, but you know, I'm going to let him advise me. And 52 feet away, he's going to be my advisor. I used to be advised by somebody that was within arm's reach, and now I'm looking out the door and saying, how would you handle this situation? Yeah. Is that you in the green shirt? 52 feet away? He could be further. He could go outside the church. I still got plenty of... And you know, I know that's funny, but people will live just about like that.
That's right.
My friend told me, and let me tell you, he knows some things. He's not here. He's not serving God now. But when he was, there's nobody that could get a hold of God. I have literally heard those things before. Yeah, they're not serving God. They was injured and they got offended. But when they were on fire, there's nobody that could pray like them. Okay. I think there's several that could pray like them, and probably better because they're here still. We need to be careful. Go ahead. Let me just reel this in. You can let go of it, brother. He walked in at just the right time, made a great illustration. You see why I like the wheel better? You just got to mash a button and it's all done again. But this will tell me in general, as long as I'm on level ground, it'll tell me how far away I am and what the space and the distance is. But when I get out there into rough terrain, it's not accurate. And truly, with the Word of God and with my walk with God and your walk with God, we really need accuracy. We need to be accurate. We don't need to think, well, it's in the ballpark. Years ago, is at a plant, and we were building some structures, and the foreman said, you're the next in line, I think it's called lead man, and you're going to go out there, and you're going to lay all this out, and you're going to be over all this crew, and I'm going to go do this. I looked at the plans, and I had my tape, I had my mechanical calculator, and I had everything, and the plans weren't in inches. No, they were in tenths. And I was like, wow, I wasn't ready for this. He said, and in the morning, the engineers are going to be by, and they're going to check every one of these structures that y'all are going to lay out. So be sure you get it right. Bye, I'll see you later. And I didn't see him for the rest of the day. And we laid them all out, got them all done. And I went home, and I prayed to the Lord God, please, let me go to sleep. And when I wake up, let me get there in time to figure out if I've got these things right or wrong. Because a mistake like that, they don't run you off that day. But the first layoff, you're the guy that they let go. It really is. It's just how it works in that business. And I had my calculator, and I checked and rechecked and rechecked, and I got there, and whenever they pulled, they called pulling a chain, and it's a thing kind of like this, but it actually has a leather strap, and they pull that, and you're watching that tenth come across. And they said, it don't have to be right on it, the engineer said. You can be plus or minus 3/8 of an inch. That's that right there. That's that right there. 3/16 maybe. It was a very little tolerance. I says, you make me feel real good. And I'm watching when that guy had that leather strap and he's pulling that chain. It's like maybe 100 feet away and he pulls it. And I saw the point go right over the top of that bolt and it passed it about 1/16. And you talk about a load being lifted. When the men came by that were the engineers, they're the ones that are going to say, it's either good or bad. It's either plus or minus. And we had some adjustments we could make, but it was within 1/16. And I just said, we're off the hook, guys, because every one of these are going to be right on because each one's measured against the other one because it's going according to the plan. If we line it up according to the plan, there's a lot of translations of the plan, but we better be sure that the one we're using still has the truth in it. Amen. Thank God. Now, I'm not one of these King James onlys. I don't know what translation I read to you today, but it was one of those. And I compared several today. I read a New Living Translation, the Message Bible, which is like, I don't know what in the world. It really disheartened me when the guy that wrote it came out the other day talking about how, really the Bible is not against homosexuality in the church. And it was, Eugene... what's his name? I don't remember. But this guy, he wrote that Bible, and it's the most watered-down, fluffy. And if I need something that really just, if a scripture's in just all Hebrew, and I just try to figure out what are they saying, I'll go to that translation, and it's literally on about a third-grade level. No offense to third graders, but it's irritating that that's called the Bible. But all the others, truly, I've found good in them. I see a translation because we know what the truth is. But I have to make sure that I have something accurate because I want to know that this is exactly what God is trying to say to me. We got to go back to the gold standard. Matter of fact, our country don't use the gold standard anymore. Y'all know that, right? Your dollar doesn't have gold in Fort Knox to equal that out. I think President Nixon said enough of that, and gold is now worth then $35 an ounce or something, or whatever, 1/20th of an ounce. But then we ended the gold standard, and the world didn't like it all being about just the dollar, and all currencies all of a sudden went crazy. But there was a term years ago called the gold standard, and it was a standard that you would go by as far as how much gold weighed. And if you had a bunch of gold, you'd put it in a safe, and that person would give you a certificate saying he has this much gold. And so you could write people certificates for a certain amount of your gold. You're welcome to 2 ounces of my gold if you'll give me that land and so forth. We've got something far greater than a gold standard. It is the Word of God. It's so much higher and greater, but we've got to allow it to move us the right way and do the right things in our hearts and in our lives. Because here it is, if God's Word doesn't challenge me and doesn't move me, and I don't obey the Word of God completely, but I live the way I want to live, then it's not affecting me, and so it is not the standard that I'm going by, but I'm going by another one. So we've got to have that. We've got to have it. Let me go. Genesis, Jacob said in Genesis 28, and this is verse 18 and 19. He rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put up at his head, set it up as a pillar and poured oil on it. Now we understand the story is he's leaving because he treated his brother out of his birthright, and his dad's angry. His mother tricked, helped him do all this. So he leaves and he goes to sleep. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of the city was called Luz previously. Jacob went to sleep and he saw in a dream, you remember, he saw a ladder, a staircase with angels going up and down. And he goes, here, this is the house of the Lord, and I didn't even know it. The reason he was so surprised is he was anything but spiritual and good. He was a conniver. He was a cheater. And he had cheated his dad out of a birthright and cheated his brother. And so here he was wondering, Lord, what in the world are you able to touch me for? You're speaking to me. But he realized that place, by that dream he had, that vision, that was where God was dwelling. And he was telling Jacob something. It's not about your goodness. It's about my perfection, my goodness. And so he poured oil on it and said, this is going to be Bethel. And Genesis 35 and 1, God spoke to him. This is over 20 years later, and said, go up to Bethel and dwell there and make an altar there to God who appeared to you when you fled from the face of Esau, your brother. He said, you're going to go back to the place where you heard from me. Because in between Bethel and Bethel, this cheater, he started to cheat again, but he also got cheated and he met his match in Laban, his father-in-law. He did, and so Laban tricked him, and he tricked Laban, and here they are back and forth, and you're going to get to marry my firstborn if you work 7 years, and oops, he said Rachel, but he got the firstborn instead, and she wasn't pretty, and he said, you work 7 more years, and I'll give you Rachel, so he agreed, he gave him Rachel, then he worked 7 more, it's 14 years he worked for those two girls, and they gave him children, all good. But it was to show Jacob, you've got something wrong with you. Right. Now, when I come to God, I have to come to him this way. Lord, I'm broke and I need you to fix me. Right. I don't need to come to God all holy and righteous and say, all right, Lord, what would thou havest me to do with my robes of righteousness? And how can I be used by you? But I have to come to him humbly and say, Lord, look, I'm nothing, but I need you to make me something. And the thing that Jacob did here in verse 35 is God took him right back to Bethel. He might have said, Lord, there's a place quicker that I can get to, a much closer place I can go to. And the Lord says, no, there's a purpose in this. I need you to go back to that place. It's symbolic, but it's necessary for you. Go back where you poured the oil out, where you first saw me. Go back there because I'm doing something in your life much greater than you can see right now. See, Jacob felt like his life was coming to an end and he hadn't even got started yet. If God is not through with you, there's one way you can tell it, all right? This is a sure sign way. I've used this before. People before me has used it. It's not original. I copied it from other people. But here's something how you can know that God's not through with you. Breathe in, breathe out. Okay, if you can still do that, God's not through with you. Now, if you're not alive and you can't hear me, all right, God's done with you. But I don't think that's anybody here. Hallelujah. Now, sometimes there's, services that just seem like I could... Is people breathing? You want to hold a mirror in front of their face just to see. But no, not in this church. Never, never here. We're a lively bunch. Oh, trust me, we really are. And I love the liveliness of this church. Amen. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. All right, I get that. I like that. That's like cheerleading. That gets us ready and gets us excited about the game. But then it says, looking unto Jesus, going back to the standard. I'm ready to go, but I got to look back to Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. I'm not a hero of faith. He's the hero of my faith. He's the author and the finisher of my faith today. And if I'm ever going to make it, he's the one that's authoring my faith. And he's also providing the path where I'm going to need the faith. And he's going to give me the victory on the path that faith is going to give me. He's all over this. It all involves Jesus. Author, finisher, everything. But I got to lay aside every weight and the sin that ensnares me and run with patience that race. Looking unto Jesus, author, finisher, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now that encapsulates the gospel message as Christ died, rose again, and then said, this is also for you to enjoy. You must die and rise to walk in newness of life. It is the same standard. I'm thankful today that God gave us something we could follow. And so walking down this path, walking down this road, we see people, and we might have a kind of a camaraderie with them, a close relationship with them, and they may ask us advice, and we may give them answers, and we may not have a good answer, or we may be asking them, hey, what would you do in this situation I'm going through? How would you handle this situation that I'm going through? And, so we can be an influence in people's life. And they influence us, right?
Sure.
There's a point where our friends and our influences and our circumstance can strain us to a place where we come to where we've got to make a decision.
Right.
We've got to make a decision. Now, I want to tell y'all a story. This is I think I've shared it before. In a sermon or something, maybe more times than I can remember. But I was at a party at the church, not our church, but it was another church that I was hanging with, and good people. And a young guy there, Jimmy, he said, hey, we're going to go driving around. Now, when somebody asks you to do something like that, and it's a very general term, driving around. I thought that there was a lack of information. I said, well, where are you driving to? I mean, I need to know, because I was there with my cousin. We were together, and I don't remember if I drove at that time, if I had my license. I don't remember. I think we were brought there by his mom, which is, that's about as cool as you're going to get. At that age, you there's a level there. Your mom drops you off or his mom drops you off. You're not going to go out there and show somebody your ride because they didn't have one. But I think that's when it was. I'm just trying to remember. And he said, no, we're going to go to the river. And I said, I guess so. And I looked in the back seat of his car that comfortably would seat four people. And it would seat five, in that back seat if you scrunched in. And there was a girl waiting back there. And then I realized what he was saying. We're going to go down to the river, okay? Just breathe between the lines. I was naive at that time, so I didn't pick up on things real quick. I just thought, well, I'm going to go get Marlon, and we'll go to the river with y'all. And I went and got my cousin. At that time, he was large. And I said, hey, you get in the middle. On the way into the hallway, as we were going out in one of those churches with the hallway that kind of went to the end, and then you open it and there was a, that's where the car was parked, in the long hallway. On the way to the hallway, it occurred to me, oh, I get it. I was a little slow on the uptake. And then I thought, I'm glad I told him to get in first. This will be funny. And the look on all their faces, the three of them in that car, when it was two guys getting in to that back seat, and I enjoyed it quite a bit. Not that girl was anything wrong with her. She probably was just, I don't know. I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail. But, it is what it is. And when we got in that car, you could sense the mood change. And I just said, well, let's go to the river. I've always wanted to see the Trinity River. And you know what we did? We drove to the river. He'd done a little donut out there by the riverbank, and we turned around and came right back to the church. Woo, that was fun. We got to do this again sometime. I wasn't the most popular guy there. I tell you what, I laughed when I got out of the car. But here's the serious part of this story, all right? Had it not been perhaps due to the Holy Ghost just pulling, nudging me a little bit, opening my eyes a little bit, all I'd have to have done is said to my cousin, you know, so-and-so is going to take you home. I'm going to go ride around with them for a minute. It would have been easy, nothing to it. But do you realize I could have changed the course of my life? I could have. God will forgive you of anything. But the problem is, would I have forgiven me? I've got to be careful. Still today, we've got to be careful. I can't think, Lord, I've been to Bethel. I don't need to go back to Bethel. I still got to go right back to Bethel. Friend, the time I've talked about it forever, 8 years old, on this side of the church, knelt down and received the Holy Ghost, I got to go back to that place again and again and say, God, fill me again. I got to go back to my Bethel and say, it's me again, Lord. I need you to fill me again. I need you to renew me, Lord, once again at my own Bethel. I'm 56, 7 years old, but I still got to go back to my Bethel and say, Lord, do what you did when I was 8 years old. I need that experience in my life again. Yes. I'm not saying avoiding getting into that yellow 67 Mustang or green, whatever it was, would have sidetracked my life and I'd have wrecked and never recovered. Now, I'm not saying that, but it might have. You just never know. That's why I'm a proponent, y'all know this, of daily prayer. Because I'll tell you this, I don't remember that day other than just that incident. And I truly have laughed about it since then. I don't remember what I did that day, but chances are that night before, I had prayed. All right. Not the fire down. I wasn't slain in the spirit. But there's a pretty good chance that I had prayed. Mm-hmm. And one of the prayers I prayed all the time was, God, I want you to pick the right one for me. Yeah. Lord, you do that for me because it's a job I don't know if I can do it or not. And you got to do that for me. I hope by me telling that all the time, y'all don't think all I did was prayed. No. I see, I don't share some things because it really would have no bearing in here. It just wouldn't work out. But no, I had my times of having fun and being mean and playing tricks on people and you know, just things I wished I hadn't have done sometimes but because it was not as funny as it was painful to somebody. But no, I asked God to forgive me of those, and He did. Pretty much. I'm pretty sure about that. But tonight, and this is not just a young people's service. Youth, I'm glad the youth are in here. Some of them are. Not everybody's not here. It's Christmas. What did I expect? But we're not going to cancel Wednesday on Christmas week, right? We already had a one-hour service this past Sunday, maybe a little over an hour, maybe an hour and a half, I think it was. We had a good church service on Sunday, though. Man, that was good. I enjoyed it. It was perfect. But it's the fact that we, as long as we're breathing, and all of you said you were. If you didn't, then you don't lie about that. But we're all here alive today. As long as we're living, the enemy of our soul is not going to stop. So I can only defeat him by having my personal Bethel that I can go back to. That it has to be my standard. I've got to have a prayer room. I've got to have a walk with God that I can't give up on. And go back again and again because I can get into these situations where instead of comparing myself to my God, to His Word, to my pastor, to my leaders, I'll start looking for somebody a little closer. Remember that? And I'll start saying, you know, compared to them, we're not that bad. Compared to you, I'm, you know, doing better. And somebody tells you juicy gossip. The Bible says, you know, a juicy piece of gossip is like a delicious morsel that goes right into the innermost being. That's not meaning that's an awesome thing. It means, boy, don't we love to hear how somebody else failed. You know why we like to hear that somebody failed? Because it makes us feel a little better. Like, whew, I'm not as bad as they are. At least, you know, I pay my taxes, or whatever it might be. Comparing ourselves among ourselves, we're not wise. Amen. It's okay to fellowship. We've got to fellowship with each other. Comparison-wise, I've got to go back to a standard to where 12 inches makes a foot, 36 is a yard. I got to go back to that. Otherwise, wouldn't it be hilarious if you had a measuring tape and it was just, you'd stretch it and just like a piece of elastic? A piece of elastic with inch mark would be really hilarious. I'm sure somebody's already thought of that, and it's probably in some gag shop. But it wouldn't be practical. It'd be neat to use it to measure your waist. I'm still 20-inch waist. Wow. You know, and straining, no. They probably have that. I'm sure they do. If not, go invent it. Make money. It'll be for sale in one of them funny shops. But when it's about my soul and my walk with God, it's got to be the same standard. Amen? I thank God. Let's all stand. I thank God today that He's given us this gift, this awesome gift of His Word. And His Word does not change. It never changes. Thank the Lord for that. It never changes. We get to a place in God to where we don't have to pray anymore. Isn't that awesome? We get to a place in God we don't have to be as faithful. You know, you pay a certain amount of tithes and there's this point where you just cap off and you don't have to pay it anymore. Offerings are optional. None of that's true. Y'all realize it. I got to go back again and again to the gold standard. And I got to go back to prayer. And I have found that there's times that I need to go to my God that I've served for most of my life. And I've got to pray an 8-year-old's prayer. Sometimes I got to go to God like I was as a child and see Him through that eyes of faith. I didn't try to judge myself or those around me. I just said, God, You do it today. Lord, I have to operate by a just weight. I have a God who is just. I have a God who's faithful, a God who loves us, a God who's kind. That's who we've got to go to. Amen. Before we're dismissed, let's gather to the front. Sister McGuire can go ahead and sing. And I want us to come to the Lord and just raise our hands. And we're going to go to Him in prayer and say, Lord, search me and know me. And I want You, Lord, to boil me back down to my essence, Lord. Take me back to that place, Lord, to where I started. And let my faith be renewed and my understanding of You be renewed, God. Take me to a place, Lord, where I can see myself.